I know you're not crazy about getting into some of the more exotic parts of the Bigfoot story, but there are, kind of some anecdotal indications that these creatures have ESP abilities or other kinds of exotic abilities. Do you take those stories seriously?
I will tell you what the newspaper articles in the 20s said. And a group of three different tribes got together, and they actually held a press conference because they heard that some sheriff was going to go out and hunt these things. And they stated that, hey, they have the ability to mimic animals in the forest. So sounds you may hear really aren't the sounds you may be thinking, like owls and other birds and things, but they're Bigfoots communicating with each other. And they don't look a lot like us, because they're real hairy and they're real big, but generally they're passive unless you try to hurt them or unless you get them mad. So don't go out there and try to hunt them. And then you hear these stories about people, and I've heard so many that they're sleeping in a tent, and they feel the rumble, and that's how it's described many times, of these things walking up at their campsite because they're so heavy, 800-900 pounds, and they feel the earth move a little bit. And then they feel it right next to their tent. And it runs the gamut. What people, they have a feeling of immense fright, so much so that sometimes they can't move. Sometimes there's horrific odor associated with it. Very rarely is the tent ever touched or assaulted, but every once in a while it is. But the general thing is that they can't move. And maybe there is something to that. I don't know. But until we understand it, or until we have some kind of chemical analysis of what's going on in the air or something along those lines, it's really hard to put our finger on what may be causing that. But I do know, because I have been in law enforcement situations myself, I've been pretty scared many times. Not to the point of where I can't move, but maybe your thinking is impaired at some level where, you're maybe not as reacting as fast as you would in a normal situation because you're trying to understand what may be occurring to you. It's hard to say.
Isn't there, back to the Patterson film, isn't there a reaction by the horse or the animals, the pack animals in that film, to what's the creature out there in that field?
Yeah,
Am I remembering that wrong?
No, that's correct. Whether the horse fell or whether Patterson fell off the horse, he did go down on the ground, and that caused a big disruption. If you talk to Native Americans, they will tell you that if you want a better chance of seeing a Bigfoot, you ride in on a horse because your odor, the human odor, is up off the ground. And I interviewed a wife of an individual named Syl McCoy, and Syl was the head of the U.S. Forest Service station in Willow Creek in the 50s and 60s. And Syl was an amateur researcher himself, and he and Bob Titmus one day decided that they were going to try to see a Bigfoot because there were certain tracks that were coming out of the Trinity River at this one location. And these guys were smart enough to get up in a Douglas fir tree 100, 150 feet up out of the air and sit there all night because they knew getting themselves up off the ground, they would have a better chance. And I will tell all researchers out there, that is the correct way to go. Because you talk to natives, you talk to the older researchers, you got to get that odor up off the ground, and a Bigfoot will walk right by. And the best example is you can read dozens of sighting reports from people in deer stands. Hunters
right.
In deer stands see them.
Before we leave this, the subject of the cover-up or muddying the waters thing, you mentioned that you'd filed all these FOIA requests. Did you ever get anything out of any agency, Park Service or FBI or anyone else that mentions Bigfoot, Sasquatch, anything like this?
We got some, and in one of the books I included a report from the Army Corps of Engineers out of Washington, but that wasn't from a FOIA request. It was more of our own research where they talked about Bigfoot in an almanac that was produced by the Army Corps of Engineers in Washington. And they talked about it like it was a real being, so that was interesting. But we have laid into it heavily in just the last 6 months, just like with a razor fine edge, asking specific questions on specific issues at specific locations. And this ranger that we interviewed the other day, I got that from a U.S. Forest Service law enforcement officer who heard that this guy had actually seen one. We went and interviewed him. He goes, I'll go on camera with him. I'll explain what happened. but there were three of us in this one area. We all saw one at different times. We were told not to report it. Nobody wanted to hear about it. Why?
Huh. And the paperwork, whatever was there is no paper trail. At least in that case, they were just discouraged.
Correct.
Help me while we're waiting to set things up for Dr. Ketchum to come on. Give me the state of the evidence. What exists? I mean, we all know that there are these prints and that moldings have been made, and we know that there are eyewitness reports and police sketches, as in your book, Tribal Bigfoot. We know there's a little bit of film footage. What other kinds of evidence do we have, and what would be the holy grail? Is it hair?
You know, I honestly think that there's several different factors that could be considered the holy grail. Let's look at the footprints for a second. There's an individual named Jimmy Chilcott out of Texas that was a police technician, and there's something called dermal ridges in a person's foot, kind of like the fingerprint of the foot. And in several casts going back decades, he found these dermal ridges in the casts of these large, giant prints. And literally, those couldn't be faked or hoaxed. And he made several presentations that I've seen where he said, hey, these are real footprints from a real creature, but they're not made by a human print because the dermal ridges go at an angle that human ridges don't. So that's one thing. Now, hair offers us some real obstacles, and I've got the best lesson of probably anybody out there because I've been at this now for 27 months with Dr. Ketchum and her staff. In a human hair, 95% of human hair has a medulla in it. The medulla is a solid core that goes down the center of the hair, and in that is our DNA. And at the follicle level, there's nuclear DNA. And maybe 4 or 5% of the human hair doesn't have this medulla in it, and it's absent. Well, it's almost opposite for Bigfoot hair. Maybe 98 or 99% of Bigfoot hair, if it has a medulla, the DNA in it is so fragmented, is so minimal that it's not workable. And until we've got multiple samples and we try this over and over again, it just doesn't work. And so what I tell everybody, if you have a hair and it doesn't have a follicle at the end, it's worthless for getting DNA at a Sasquatch Bigfoot level. We need the follicle. And the follicle obviously is the core, the root that goes into the body. And unfortunately, for Bigfoot hairs, very small percentage of these hairs have follicles. Whether it's the way the hair comes out, whether it falls out at some level very easily, we don't know. But we've been lucky. We have some samples out of Oregon, some out of California, some out of Alaska, and some out of Mid-America that are good samples. And that started it off working with Dr. Ketchum. And she has been one person that has shown an exorbitant amount of energy and interest, because people that are hair and fiber experts have seen these hairs, and they've ruled that they are like nothing else out there in the world. And there's no other animal, there's no other human that could have a hair like this. They look a lot like primate hairs, but there's no primate out there that has this exact kind of hair. And this has been stated before, and this isn't really anything new. But I suppose when she hears it from somebody that she deems credible, and he raises her interest level like he did way back when we started this, and now she starts to get into the DNA extraction from follicles of hairs, and it starts to raise her interest even more when she starts to have some strange returns come back.